They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he might become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we turn to the resurrection story itself. As Matthew reflects it, after all, if anybody was an eyewitness, certainly he was. He was there among the 12 as he experienced Jesus on that day of resurrection. And this is what he had to share about it. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may this glorious gospel, this word of life, shine in each of our hearts now. May we know it not simply to be words on a screen or in a page, but may we know it to be words which in our lives, in our hearts, in our innermost being, bring about a transforming presence and a hope that doesn't quit. Here we are, Lord. We are before you. Speak to us. We love to hear the word of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Week was what is what we call it, but it wasn't necessarily called it back then. But Jesus knew it was a very important week in his life, and a very important week in the lives of those that followed him. They were with him through the whole thing, and just a week ago, they were on their way into Jerusalem to the tune of psalms and shouts of Hosanna. Lord, save us now. Hardly did they know what they were saying. That in fact, salvation was right in their midst, and it was about to unfold in a way that they couldn't even begin to dream about. They were with Jesus as he walked into the temple. And he looked around, and then he devised a plan to change some things in the temple. That probably made his followers a little bit nervous. After all, you don't mess with the people who are in charge. Some of them went with him as he went out every evening to Bethany, where he would return to the home of Mary and Martha. And the next day he would get up again and head back into Jerusalem and go to the temple. You might have thought that Jesus would have a little bit more wisdom than to return to the scene of the crime, knowing that the people are pretty angry with him in this place. After all, he made more than a few enemies when he wrecked the commercial enterprises of the Sanhedrin. And it was Passover. For heaven's sakes, it was Passover. It's a time of celebration, of redemption and release, to tell the story again that God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, away from their oppressors, and brought them into the promised land. But Jesus kept talking about death. Stop it, Lord. Would you please stop talking about this? This can't happen to you. After all, this chariot is just getting up speed. We're on a roll. Jesus, don't be talking about death. And then there was the Passover dinner. Jesus transformed that tradition too. The afikoman, we learned about this on Thursday night. It's the middle piece of unleavened bread that was taken out and broken, and then part of it being hidden. And it was the job of the children to go around and try to find the afikoman. Well, when the afikoman was brought back to Jesus, he took the afikoman, this piece of bread, and he broke it again. Wait a minute, that's not in the script. And he shared it with his disciples and said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Whenever you eat this bread, remember me." And then, after the supper was over, he took the third cup and he lifted it to bless God, as was the custom of the Passover. And then he shared it with his disciples and said, "Take it. Everybody, and drink from this cup, because it's my blood that's poured out for your forgiveness, for the forgiveness of the many, of all the people who are willing to trust me." And after all, there was a lot to forgive. For after they sang a hymn and left that room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "I need for you to keep watch and pray while I go off to talk with my Father." And they all fell asleep. And Jesus came and said, "Well, you know, can't you guys stay awake? My soul is deeply grieved. Please stay awake with me." And they all fell asleep again. And then in the distance they saw the light of the torch, and along with those who were in power, who really wanted to see Jesus finished, along with them came one of his own, Judas, who betrayed his Lord with a kiss. The blood flows for forgiveness. Jesus is taken into custody and goes for a mock trial. And while he's inside, and the chief priest has just given him all the business, outside is Peter. He's in the courtyard. And there he denies knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times, just as Jesus had predicted. There was a lot to forgive. And then after he was taken into custody, they all ran away. Not too many of them, as far as we know, showed up at the cross. We know John was there. This long walk to Golgotha, where the Romans nailed Jesus to a cross, and they left him there for dead. What a story. This all started so well last Sunday. But by the end of the week, things look pretty bleak, pretty hopeless. What were the women thinking? Yes, the women, as they came to the garden tomb. The women were the ones who were the first ones to see Jesus alive. And this is often offered as evidence of the fact that you don't make these things up. Because if you needed credibility in that culture, you didn't appear to women, you would appear to a man, because nobody believed a woman. But Jesus appeared to women. Everything's starting to change. Everything's starting to become new. But as they approached the grave, they might have been thinking, well, you know, we have work to do. We have spices to anoint the body of our beloved friend Jesus. How are we going to get the stone moved? But the task and the question most likely melted away when they saw the tomb, because the stone was moved. And when they went in, the slab was empty. And there was an angel there that said, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? Jesus is risen. Don't be afraid." As they left the tomb, verse 8 tells us, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Notice the mix of emotion there. Fear and great joy. Ever had those mix of emotions? Like laughter and tears all rolled into one? That's how they felt. All this mix of emotions. It was gripping them, these two Marys. One Mary Magdalene, and the other one we understand to be Jesus' Aunt Mary. And so they left the tomb to tell the others that there was really good news. The tomb is empty. And somebody just didn't steal his body. He was alive. And as they're on their way, Jesus greets them. And I love the way it says this. It says, "Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them." That word greet literally means to rejoice. Jesus rejoiced with them. Like, "It is so good to see you again. Here I am alive, and you're alive, and we're together." There's so much hope in this moment. And so what do the Marys do? It says they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They fell on their faces. They held on to his feet. That word worship is the word which really literally means to kiss towards. In other words, they were adoring his presence, and they were on their faces, humbled and joyful all at the same time. Worship means to get on your face, in this case, the Greek word, and to kiss towards. The diminished term that we use is to kiss up. That's a diminished term. The powerful term is to kiss towards. In other words, "I am here for you." And that's what they were feeling. Wow, you're alive. And Jesus, we're here for you. We are with you. Worship. Worship is the response. Worship is the point of real transformation in our lives. Because worship creates the atmosphere for life to grow. And that's why we're here today. It shouldn't be all that unusual. I mean, worship is not just a Sunday thing. It's not just an Easter thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an every hour thing. When we worship, we come and we bring all of our broken dreams and we lay them at His feet. We come through this ordeal of brokenness, recognizing that sometimes there are a few of these broken dreams that are still dangling here to the side. And He says, don't leave those. Bring them too. Bring them and lay it all here at My feet. And worship Me. I've got this. You see, worship puts everything in perspective. That's why they worshiped. Worship places us at the feet of the risen Lord. Worship is not just showing up. That's a good start. It's good to show up. But it's not just showing up. Jesus wants us to really connect with Him. I mean, when Mary's on her face, holding on to His feet, do you think she's connecting? Oh, yeah, in a really big way. And Jesus says, that's where I want you. In fact, as you are on your face and holding on to My feet, let Me reach down and lift up your head. Get a good gaze into My eyes. I really love you. All that stuff that's dangling, all that stuff that's bothering you, I've got it. Stay here for a while and worship. And let Me hold you. Jesus wants us to really connect with Him. Because when we really connect in worship, that's when there's a miraculous transformation that happens in us. Michael Quick is one of the professors of preaching at Northern Seminary. That's one of our American Baptist seminaries out in the Chicagoland area. He's a Brit, and he tells this story about his native England when he was 9 or 10 years old. He says, "My parents gave me a birthday surprise. They announced that I was going on a mystery tour and needed to be blindfolded. First, we drove a few miles." You can tell he's telling this story in the United States. "And when I was helped out of the car, giggling, trying unsuccessfully to see out the sides of my blindfold, and needing to hold on to my parents' hands, I had no idea where we were. At first, we walked in the open air, and then we entered a building, and we began to climb up the steps, up and up and up. It must be a tower. Once or twice, people passed by. 'Kidnapping him?' they said. And we kept climbing higher. Reaching the top," he said, "I could feel the sun and breeze on my face. My mother and father took the blindfold off, and I blinked with happiness at the sight before me. I was on the top of the Cabot Tower in Bristol, England." Ever been there, Philip?
No.
No. "The city lay below. The river danced beneath. Countryside rolled beyond, and the sea glinted in the distance. It was dazzling and brilliant as I stood there with my kid brother and my parents. Reflecting now on that moment, I am fairly sure it was the first time in my life that I truly experienced being alive." I was talking with Cameron yesterday, your grandson, and he was up in the balcony, and he said, "I really like it up here." I said, there's something about being up high and looking down. Right, Cameron? He says, I really like it. I've been all over this church, but I really like it here. It gives perspective. You kind of feel like you're on top of the world. And worship does that for us. He says, up until then, I had little perception of a world full of beauty, trust, love, purity, and joy. But right then, its big picture just couldn't be beaten. Everything was good in the deep places of my body, mind, and soul. Astonishingly good. As I have grown older, I have had a few other experiences like that. And definitely the best times have been in worship, when I have known, joining with others, that I belong to God in the depths of beauty, trust, love, purity, and joy. That's where Mary, the two Marys, were on that Easter morning. They may not have been in a tower or in a balcony. In fact, they were a lot lower than that. But they had the same picture. The view from the feet of Jesus is a good one. Because as we worship, everything starts to fall into perspective. And we know that we are held by the one who holds all eternity and death and sin and disease and brokenheartedness in his hands. The whole last week for both of the Marys was now dim as they worshiped at the feet of the risen Lord. Now, the point of this message is not to give you a little blessing and to send you on your way back out into the world to live, well, just like you were living before. There's an assignment here. And the assignment, the Easter homework, is to spend time to wait at the feet of the risen Lord, to spend time there to help you to get perspective. I need that too, by the way. There are amazing things that happen, sometimes things that I can't believe that are happening. And they take my heart down. And Jesus says, now, come back here. Get at my feet. Worship here. Let me give you my perspective. Abandon yourself to me. And so, as we get ready to part from this place today, I have a question for you. Just as I have a question to the man in the mirror. How about we just worship? How about we just do this? How about we just get God's perspective on things? And when we do, everything else seems to fall into place. That's the resurrection story. That's the Easter story. How about we just do it? Let's pray. So here we are, Lord. Whether we're sitting or standing, Lord, in our spirits, we're getting to our knees. And we hold your feet. And we know that here is a good place, for here we are in touch with the power of resurrection and hope. Here everything is good. Lord, we know that we just can't stay here continually. You call us into a world where there are others that need to hear this, where we need to be witnesses of these things. But we linger here for a few more moments. And as we do, we feel ourselves embraced, deeply loved by the God who created this world and created us. And we sing Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen.